We do have Senator Tom Bach on the phone with us this morning, and it's a busy time, so we want to talk to him so we can get back to work. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning. Nice to be with you.
So let's talk about the budget. There's 7 weeks left in the session and a lot of work ahead. So where are we with major areas of agreement so far?
Well, we're at that point now. The policy deadlines are passed. So any policy bill that hasn't been out of the committees and on the House or Senate floor now is now dead for the session. So people that had policy things that we didn't get time to will have to wait till next year. Right before the Easter break, we gave spending targets to all of the spending divisions. There are 11 major bills left in this session. They divide up the entire state budget. They also include capital bonding and taxes. We've given them all a spending target. The committee chairs now are hearing a lot of those bills related to finance. For example, today in the higher ed committee, I have a bill up. Paula Sundet Wolf is coming down, and I have a bill up to give some additional money to the Cook County higher ed program. The Republicans cut that in the current biennium by, I think it's around $20,000. So I'm going to try to get that restored, and I appreciate her making the trip down to put a local face on the project. Got another bill up today to build another segment of the Gitche-Gami Trail. So the kind of bills that are getting heard now, although the mayor of Two Harbors is coming down today, I've got a bill up for some money for a marina development in downtown Two Harbors. So those are the kind of bills that are getting heard now, those that are related to spending. We expect that those bills will be all out of committee and off the Senate and House floors by about the 26th or 27th of April. So then they'll all be in what we call conference committee, where the House and Senate will reconcile the differences in their bills. And then be back on the House and Senate floors mid-May, and our scheduled adjournment is May 20th. So you're right, we're getting close.
So are there still areas of major disagreement?
Well, you know, the question is always, how are you going to pay for the spending?
Right.
Because we do have, people just need to remember, we still have a $627 million deficit on our hands. So the first $627 million we raise will not give us one penny to spend. So that's the challenge that we've been kind of kicking down the road for about 10 years now, and Governor Dayton's been very, very serious about resolving that problem permanently so that we don't have, you know, the next legislature doesn't inherit a deficit like this. And so the question kind of is, what revenue can we raise? Now, the Republicans 2 years ago made a decision to borrow in order to keep the budget in balance, and I think most people remember they borrowed a historic amount from our K-12 school system, and many, many school districts in the state had to go out in short-term borrow to be able to pay their operating expenses. The governor said, we are not going to do that. So we're trying to put an honest budget proposal together. So there'll be a lot of action in the tax committee, and it's probably the last bill that will be on the Senate floor 26th or 27th of April, something like that. The governor's been real clear about a higher income tax on higher wage earners. I think he's in at a number of about 250,000 households. And what people need to remember about that, and I know there aren't a lot of people impacted by that in Cook County. I know there's less than 20, but what people need to remember is that's actually the taxable income. So you actually have, that's after your deduction. So you actually have to earn a little something north of $300 in a family to be impacted by that. Some version of that will be in the final tax bill. The governor it's a very strong principle to him. Then the question kind of is, you know, earlier the governor rolled out a pretty significant tax reform in the sales tax area. And then he got a lot of pressure, especially from the business community, about the business-to-business sales tax included in it. So he pulled all of his sales tax proposals off the table. We're still discussing them in the Senate. Sales tax expansion and lowering of the rate is something that's been talked about for several governors. Going back to Perpich, they've talked about doing that because Minnesota has a very narrow band of things that we tax, but yet a, you know, pretty high rate. So it's really better tax policy, and there's more stability in the state budget revenue going forward if you have a broader band of thing you apply the sales tax to, and if you can lower the rate, it really is the better tax policy. So we're still talking about that in the Senate. The governor's still very cool to the idea, so I'm not sure that'll be a part. The governor's been very clear he wants an additional 94 cents a pack on cigarettes. He's dug in pretty hard on that. I think some version of that is likely to happen. Sounds like the House might even go higher than that. It's one of the most regressive taxes we have in our system, but the truth is there are serious health impacts of smoking. And you have to kind of mitigate the regressivity of the cigarette tax and kind of look at the public health issue and the additional costs that it adds.
One thing I wanted to ask you before I let you go is the composition of the Iron Range Resources and Rehabilitation Board has changed.
Right.
Is that a good idea or a bad idea?
Well, I think it's a good idea. What happened was the IRB board has always, for decades, had 10 legislators and the DNR commissioner on it. That was the makeup of the board. And until around 2000 or so, and when the Republicans controlled the House, they pushed really hard, actually, to get rid of the IRRRB. And the compromise in the end was, well, let's take the DNR commissioner off. Let's put three citizens on, along with the 10 legislators. But and that sounds good, and we've had some very, very good citizens on that board. The challenge is, in recent times now, it's become kind of a place for former legislators to consider parking themselves to kind of stay active in politics. And Joel Begich, for example, from Eveleth, is a good friend of mine, but he retired back in 92, and he's been on the board now for several terms. And Tom Rukavina was retired now, but was interested in staying on the board as a citizen. And we kind of talked about it as legislators and thought, are we really meeting the intent of having citizens on the board if it just becomes a place for former legislators to be able to park themselves and kind of stay in the game of lawmaking? So we really came to the conclusion that it wasn't meeting really the intent of having real citizens on there. And there's no way to preempt somebody that's a former elected official. So we just decided, you know, maybe we should just skinny it up. Mm-hmm. And we reduced the number of Senate members on there from 5 to 4. But I think it's probably okay. Nothing else changed.
So we have five Senate members?
Five House members and 4 senators on it.
Four senators.
There was 5 and 5.
Yeah. Good luck on the weeks remaining and on the budget. I know that's a particular area of interest for you, and I know you got a lot of work cut out for you. So
thank you. We'll talk again before the end of session.
You bet we will.